He will explain briefly what he's doing and where he's from and all that stuff. 180, Mamun Kumbus. 180. 180, him 180 as he comes forward.
Thank you very much, Pastor Makaja. So we're equally bad with names, but we love each other in Christ. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 11, please, I'd like to read from verse number 5 and 6. My name is Heshimu Kolar. I am a missionary and an evangelist from the United States, the great state of California. And I'm serving in Nigeria. I know something about what it means to sacrifice. And so to hear my dear brother back here with your family as a missionary instead of a lawyer. There are some lawyers that are needed in Nigeria to help with the court system. Often a girl will be kidnapped by a Muslim and to be married as a child. And in the court system is we're often able to get them back. So if you ever want to serve as a lawyer, you can head on over there. It'll be plenty of work for you. And I think the legal think that the legal system over there is beginning to have a turn in a positive direction. So I hope that you will pray for that. To be in a country without law and order, where girls are kidnapped, and where people are forced off of their land. The Fulani herdsmen, and their homes are taken, they're killed. It's a hard burden. But in the midst of the burden is an opportunity. Opportunity. To share the gospel. So Hebrews 11, verse number 5 and 6, I want to read our text and I will lead us in prayer. Thank you once again for having me, church, and for your hard work yesterday. I know it is hard work to preach the gospel and to have a conference. It's all hands on deck. I saw the young men doing things. The women served. The brothers helped in a way that is out of the ordinary here. So I'm very thankful and very happy to see that. It doesn't take a lot of people, but it takes a heart that is united in the work. So Hebrews 11, verse number 5 and 6. The title of this message I bring is He is a Rewarder. He is a Rewarder. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I want you to see the connection between verse number 5 and 6. But without faith, and so Enoch had faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. And here's what we must believe, that he is God as he says he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's a giver of great things of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come before your throne, we ask you to bless us with this message. To bless our hearts, that even though we have doubts, we have fears, we have hardships, struggling marriages, disobedient children, hard things at work, unbelieving saints among us, and fears everywhere abounding, the hardships of this township. That we would believe you. That we would believe that you are a rewarder. That we would get the power that is due unto us because of Christ. You'd give us the riches of the blessing of your person. You would inhabit us by your Spirit. You would open our eyes to see your glory. May we behold your beauty. May we be encouraged. May we be thrilled by the gospel. May we take it out to serve others, to save others. Encourage this pastor. Encourage this people. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, our Father, use me as a messenger. Of your message, of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Very thankful to be here to proclaim the glad tidings of the good things which are in the gospel. If you were listening at the conference yesterday, as you know, I have a speech impediment. I speak a little bit differently, so you have to pay pretty careful attention. But here is what he says in verse number 6. But without faith, and he's connecting this unto Enoch, it is impossible to please him, try as hard as you may. As one man said, that a clean heart, it will produce works that please God. But we cannot work our way into a clean heart. It's by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God in prayer must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. God Almighty is a rewarder. He gives good things to sinful people who seek him by faith in Christ, believing his goodness, that he's good enough to give it unto me and you, even though we are sinners, for Christ's sake. The Bible and the gospel is not a self-help doctrine. It is not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You and I have no boots. It is God come down through Christ Jesus to give us what we do not deserve, even though we are sinners. I'm reminded of Moses at the rock. The people were murmuring. And God said, go give them water. Speak unto the rock. And Moses said in his arrogance, in his pride, I'll smite the rock. And I'll give you water out of the rock. It's not from man. It's not from the anger of man. It's from the goodness of God, no matter how sinful the sinner is. The gospel is not for tiny sinners, small sinners. Like you and I, it's for big sinners, big time sinners. And it's the goodness of God through Christ. And we preach grace to sinners no matter what. And we may dig down deep and expose their sin and our sin. Yes, we do. We dig down into that filthy mire. But we dig down and preach a gospel of grace. That's why I've got great hope. Everywhere I go, I've got great hope.
Amen.
I'm reminded, saints, I need to stop speaking less negatively of Nigeria and speak more with hope and optimism. I think he is going to do great things there.
Amen.
I think he is going to revive the spirit of the people there. It can't get much worse, brother. I think it's going to be a good thing there. A revival of spirit. I'd like to see 1 million people saved.
Amen.
It's got 220 million people. I don't know. There's but a handful of churches who know the gospel. But we are going to rely upon God. It's a great thing to have a God that is a rewarder of sinners for Christ's sake and everybody who trusts him. I've got three things that I want to talk about this morning. And the first thing is the reward. Is I want to define this reward. Is I want you to know it is spiritual blessing. within our context, point number 2 will be the rejection. There is a wrong way to seek it, And then point number three will be the right way. But the reward itself is all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not a new car. And I know that in our context, the prosperity gospel is preached everywhere. And you get tempted to think you have to offer people something, but you don't. That's one of the reasons I'm going back into Nigeria, is that God is offering them nothing by the false gospel of prosperity. And He's making the country worse. As when I first came there, on the Naira unto the dollar, it was 350. I had not yet actually learned the black market there. It's actually legal, but as of now, it's gone. But just a couple weeks ago, it was up to 1,900. I'm rich over there. Just because of the dollar. The economy is so low and so broken that the people are starving now. It's the big claim now is they can't eat three meals a day. If they cannot feed twice a day. If they're eating once a day, they're happy. They're struggling. And that is God telling us and them that the prosperity gospel is a lie, not from heaven. And oftentimes, those saints, it's in our members. It was in Job. He's the greatest man on earth in his day. But he thought and he said, because I've been serving God, these awful things must not happen. I got to have the good things. I've been praying. And even as I'm praying, if God kills my children, as he was praying. And so Job is saying, as to why this, how could this be happening? I'm serving God as much as anyone on earth. Nobody has been promised anything in this world by God. You can go hungry, you can go broke, and you can still have God unto the joy of your soul.
Amen.
And He hasn't broken a single promise. I don't have a car, but I may get one. If you never have a car, if you walk your whole life and you take taxi, you can know God better than anybody on earth. There are poor people who know God.
Yes.
There are rich people who know God.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. He's chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And we, this church here, is we need to go out and tell this unto sinners. This whole church service, this group here, if you got saints who can sing, you hit your stick. I'd hate to get a smack around here. That thing be thumping. And that rhythm just be rocking. No dirty smack here. But you can take this message to the streets with the gospel, sing, pray, preach the gospel. I have a speaker. It's in Belleville South. It's with another brother there, and I'm sure that he'll share it. Anytime that I'm in town or after I'm gone, if you want to hit these streets and blocks and preach this gospel, you can speak it in your language. I'll speak it in English. If we will sing songs and pray, let the people hear this gospel of God's grace and glory, and let them bow down to Jesus Christ as He truly is. He promises not the bread of the world, He's the bread of life. The spiritual blessings in Christ are ours. That's holiness, that's forgiveness, that's joy, that's peace. That's power over sin. That's the blessing of God inside the soul. That's the happiness that comes from contentment with God. I'm happy if I got Almighty God and nothing else. Oh, are you? You happy with God? I'm content to follow God. I'm content to walk with God because He's real. And He satisfies on the inside of the soul. He's the best thing going. And Enoch, he drew near to Him. He said, I'm coming to you. You're so good. I'm coming to you. And the Bible says that Enoch, what? He walked with God.
Yes.
That's the book of Genesis chapter 5. He walked with God. He's saying, you're so good. I want to stay near unto you. I want you so much more that I want to go to heaven right now. And I don't even want to die. I just want to go be with you.
Jesus.
And the Lord said, okay, you can come. You can come. He's the only man on earth that's ever happened to, but it happened unto Him. You can come even without dying and answer unto prayer. Because you believe that I'm a rewarder and you want me more than anything. The promise of this text is to have God. Wow. Oh, I can pray for car. I can pray for house. I pray for health all the time. I can pray for resources. But I've got to have God. I'm not going to stop until I get Him. Over and over until I get Him. Until I have Him more abundantly than I have Him right now. Until the fullness that Christ says is ours, dwelling inside of our soul. And He can do more than we ask or think. Point number two, saints. The rejection. Now, there is a right way to go, but there is a rejection if we come the wrong way. Is you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask the wrong way. You ask amiss. You ask in a sickly fashion. You ask to consume it on your own lust.
Yes.
If I want to be a great preacher, so that God can praise me and so that man can praise me, is He going to make me a great preacher? If I want to be a great preacher and have the power of the Holy Spirit so people can look at me and I can look at myself in the spiritual mirror and say, wow, I'm looking good. Is He going to give me and you the Spirit?
No.
He gives us the Spirit to make Christ great. He gives us the Spirit to make Christ known. He gives us the Spirit in order to be servants. He wants us to serve. He doesn't want us to do anything for ourselves. If we're rich and we're able to enjoy it, He wants us to give and be an example in good works. If we're blessed with the Spirit to preach the gospel, He wants us to serve the souls of sinful men, and that service is from the heart. Oh, I can say, Lord God, bless me, but on the inside are spots and blemishes that have to be cleaned out. Is I have a friend back home, and he's the pastor of the Elevate Gospel Outreach. And we planted that church just before I left. And he's done the work. It's because I've been gone. It's his vision. It was his name of the church. Elevate Gospel Outreach. And I thought, and I didn't say nothing. I thought, not the best name. And one day I said, brother, if you take off the Elevate and you just put the Gospel Outreach, it can spread all over the country. And he said, no, I like Elevate. And I said nothing. I went on. Disgruntled, but I forgot about it. But I sent him a message last week. Oh, I said, brother, that's a good name. Because I finally figured out as to what it means to lift people up. Lift up other people. I've been watching some of the videos and some of the speeches of a Dr. King, Martin Luther King. He's not a gospel preacher. He's a civil rights leader. He preached what men call liberation theology. He preached the gospel of social justice, but it had no gospel of God saving sinners by the finished work of Christ. And he denied the resurrection of Christ. And I hate to have to say that point. But the thing I have been learning from the preaching of Dr. King is to lift up a people. You don't beat them down. Husbands, you love your wives, you don't beat them down. You don't oppress them, you lift them up. If you may correct, but you lift them up and you help them to do better. If you mamas with your children, you lift them up. If you're not trying to beat anybody down. And this knowledge that me and you have in the gospel is not for the beating down of anybody. Mm. It's not to show ourselves proud. It's not to show ourselves as having so much knowledge. It's not to show ourselves as being better than other people. My Calvinism humbles me and degrades me in this flesh and makes me look up unto God as a sinner. He saved who obtained mercy. And the knowledge that you and I have is to give other people a blessing.
Amen.
The scripture says that it is knowledge. There is a kind of knowledge. If received in the flesh, it puffs up. Oh, I'm better than everybody else. I'm the pastor. Oh, I know more than you. I've been studying all day. I know more than you. That puffs up. But there's another kind of knowledge. It's called love. It builds up. Its only activity is to build up this other person. Its only desire is to build up this community. It's not about this church. It's about them. If it's really about them, this church, it'll be built up in the gospel. You don't need a bunch of people. You don't need a bunch of money. You don't need a bunch of people. Hear me from this carefully. I was over in Victoria, and I was supposed to be a part of a large ministry. Of a man, he began to act evil after I came. And he pushed out this other man that had invited me. It was only because of envy and because of jealousy and slander. But I had to do something as to while I was there. And there were two people. It was a man that was in his early 20s. And it was a woman that's almost my age. I would say almost as old as me. These two people, I go out on the street corner and I preach with that speaker. They pass out tracts. But they didn't only pass out tracts. They would talk to people. They get their telephone numbers and contact them. They were in the ministry as much as me. And we made that street corner on fire for the gospel. And our fellowship meal, our prayer together, oh, so impactful. Some of the sweetest times of my life in worship. I don't mind a small church. It doesn't matter if God is here. But God's here in the work. That's for God's glory in other people's souls. Mm-hmm. If it's about us and we're asking for it, oh Jesus, give it to me. He ain't giving it. Mm-hmm. He's a good God. Mm-hmm. He's better than that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you something to destroy you except as a chastisement. He's going to withhold it. Mm-hmm. But if me and you come the right way, that's point number three. If we come the right way, oh, we can have all of God that we want and then much more so. You hearing me? I'm telling the truth now. I'm not just preaching. I'm telling the truth. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3, verse number 19 and 20, and to know the love of Christ, that's how we get this goodness of God. It is the love of Christ. It's not the love of self. It's the love of Christ. His love towards us, even though we are sinners, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? God, get on the inside of me and let me have the blessing. And the blessing is you. All the blessing of Abraham is the Holy Spirit. That they might receive the Holy Spirit by faith. That's God on the inside of me and you. Verse number 20. Now unto him that is able, because it's by the power of God. It's not the power of a sinful man. It's not the power of me and you. Our greatness, what me and you can be in the gospel, has nothing to do with us at all. I had to learn this the hard way, but I have learned and I am learning it. If you look at Peter, at the day of Pentecost, he is a different man. If you look at him in Acts 3, he healed a man. It was he and Brother John, they healed a man. And then the crowd came because this man is up and he's leaping, he's praying. One converted sinner might call the whole crowd to come and say, what's going on here?
Yes,
oh, look at here. This drunkard has come to Christ and he's worshiping God and he's giving God glory. This prostitute is in Christ. Is in the gospel now. Prostitute my sister for an opportunity. They're an opportunity. They'll listen to you. They're burdened. They're heavy laden. They're shame-filled. They're guilty deep down on the inside. It's an opportunity to get somebody the gospel. And just one of them might cause a crowd. And Peter said what? It's not by my power of holiness that we made this man strong. Is God glorifying us? Of course this is what God can do. It's not based upon me and you. It isn't our strength. It isn't our goodness. It isn't our moral character. Me and you are the ones that need help. Mm-hmm. Our help is in the Lord. Our help is from God. And we need to get our vision bigger. You hearing me? When Elisha, is he was surrounded. And his servant was all afraid. Oh, master, what are we going to do? Look, the Syrians all around us. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And he looked. And the mountains were filled with the chariots of God. And Elisha said, there are more that are with us than that are against us. This small church has God on our side. This sinful and weak individual has God on my side through faith in Christ. There is no extent that God cannot go in the sinner to transform him into a holy person and make him love God with all his heart unimaginably. There is nobody that we can't be. There is no limit on the Holy Spirit's power. He cannot in this life take sin out of our heart. It is going to be with us until death, right? But he can subdue it and he can push it down, increasing. He can make us like Paul. He can make us like Whitfield. He can make us like Spurgeon. He can make us like Mary Slessor. I don't mean the gifts. I mean the God on the inside of the heart and the power of God to love people. I mean the real things that matter that every one of us can have if we ask. Here's what the text says. Ephesians 3, verse 20, now to him who is able, he's got all kinds of ability and power to do exceeding abundantly. The Apostle Paul is just using words to express the inexpressible. In chapter 1, he calls it his vast power. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. My brain has not yet comprehended what God can do in this body. Mm-hmm. And he can do it from a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He can do it in poverty. Mm-hmm. He can do it with a small... God's not limited by the size of this church. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's not limited by our weakness or anything. He's God. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to what? The power that works in us. He's not talking about a Mercedes. That's the way it is twisted out here. But he's talking about the real blessing. A holy life. A loving life. Patience under trials. He's not talking about there will be no more suffering. He's talking about joy and suffering. Oh, I was talking with the saint just yesterday. And this sister told me that her husband told her that they seem to love each other best in times of trouble. If the money's tight. If the bill ain't paid or it's due. If the house might be evacuated. That's when they love each other most. Love not hindered by hard times, is it? How much more so God's love and power. That's when he draws them in. In Pretoria, I had some small persecution. The taxi drivers over there are cruel, mean. It's a gang. They act like thugs. And I'm on the street preaching, and they come snatch off my glasses, put their hands on me, stop my equipment, do all these things. I went home that night and had the sweetest fellowship with God I've had in South Africa. Mm-hmm. He's not hindered. No man can stop him. He can do more than we can ask or think. You can be a greater Christian than you can imagine. You can start right. If I could, if I had the opportunity, I'd go back just to serve God the right way. You can take this sermon and put it in practice in your life. And in 20 years, or by the time you reach my age, we don't even know what you might look like as a Christian. And us older people, is we can repent. And is we can take all the bad times and all of our experience of failures, and we can learn something now, and we can love people with the gospel. Or we can help the younger ones and say, brother, here's how it's going. Oh, young man, I've seen you going in that way. I've been that direction. That's not the way to go. Let's do it like this. Let's follow Christ right now, sincerely. And he'll bless you. Let us seek him. Let us seek him. How do we seek him? It's by prayer. It's by faith. It's by repentance. Let me read you this other scripture. It's in the book of James 4. I almost preached on this morning, but when I woke up, I just could not see it as the message of God. But verse number 6 says, but he gives more grace. After exposing our hearts and all the evil inside and all of the reasons of our answered prayer, therefore he says that God resists the proud. If I can do it, he's going to make me able to say I can't before he helps me and he blesses me. He's going to show me and you to be an utter and absolute failure before he helps us. He's going to show our inability before he helps. But he gives grace unto the humble. That person that is lowly, that is bowed down, that is broken, that can do nothing, that is actually worth nothing, that has tried everything else. I am a better preacher, Pastor, because I tried everything else and it failed. I don't have anything but the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And if He doesn't speak to me, I will just close up our Bibles. And I won't go into the pulpit and not have Him. Intellect means nothing. Right doctrine all by itself means nothing. It's the Word and the Spirit. He lifts up the humble. He'll lift you up. Prayer says, I can't help myself. God help me.
Yes.
Oh, but it says more than that. It says, based on the blood of Christ, you will help me. Oh, it says, based on the power of the Holy Spirit, you will help me. I can do what you have said. I can be clean on the inside through the work of God. I can be sincere. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can obey the text through Christ. That's what prayer says. But you got to make me do it. And prayer makes our face shine. On the Mount of Transfiguration, did you know what happened? And the Lord Jesus prayed, and then His face was transfigured. It's the same with us. Prayer makes our face shine. It changes our character. Oh, we get to meet with Almighty God as a sinner and confess our sins, and He lifts us up by His power more than can be imagined. Oh, the holiness of God. Oh, the goodness of God. Seek Him with all your heart. Poor sinner, come to Christ. Come on. Come to Him. He'll take you. Just as you are, for Christ's sake. And make you something great. And me too. For His glory.
Amen.
Amen.